Max, please drop the rhyme.
Oh, I'm sorry. Clear the air. Everybody, take your seats. Dim the lights. Listeners at home, please.
I didn't want to start this with slam poetry.
What are we here for? Max, you know what you need?
I wasn't as sold as you guys were on the idea of starting this off.
You need a beginner's guide to slam poetry, is what you need.
I need a beginner's guide to slam poetry.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the Crit Crew. We've been taking a little break because someone's computer decided to betray him.
That's me.
You push him right under the bus. That always fun.
That's me, David, one with the bad computer.
State your full name.
You know, David, your favorite.
Social security number,
please.
Okay, well, I mean, you guys are the only ones that will hear this later, so it's a relatively safe bet, but we're playing games, we're having fun.
Having fun, throwing
out
that
social security numbers.
Number.
Yeah. It's like a trading card. Just,
you know, boys will be boys.
So good news, this is not about social security numbers today. We're talking about the beginner's guide.
So,
yeah, this may sound familiar to you after Caleb lusted over in the last episode.
I subtly suggested that we play this game after the Stanley Parable. That's...
Your mind freaked us.
Wow.
I descended upon you like a sweet gothic angel.
I woke up one morning after having dreams of Caleb whispering at me, play the beginner's guide.
So for people unfamiliar with the beginner's guide, it is from the creator, one of the creators of the Stanley Parable, Davey Rennan. He went to create the studio Everything Unlimited, which is a relatively new studio, and he's been working on this for quite a while. And for, you know, players unfamiliar to this game, it is really less of a video game and more of an interactive narrative story. Or
when we say walking simulator, this is what we're talking
about.
There's
very limited player interaction on your part. It's more telling. I mean, Davey himself is sort of commentating in a sort of director's commentary. You are playing through the fictional programmer, in this case, Coda, his mod levels through the source code using Half-Life 1, Half-Life 2 assets. And you're sort of just looking at these little levels, basically. And Davey is giving you his thoughts and opinions on what Coda might have been thinking at the time, gives you a little bit of context as to where he was coming from. But that is, in a nutshell, what the Beginner's Guide is. But it is, dear listeners, so much more than this. So I'm saying this right off the bat so you don't get swayed by these two here. So
let him tell you.
Well, I'd like to just start off the conversation about, by virtue of this being less a video game and more of an interactive experience, how do you guys feel like it measured up using the conventions of, you know, navigating a 3D world? How do you feel like it succeeded or did not succeed?
Max, you go because you have a more favorable opinion than I do.
You
so.
Ain't. Yeah, you're just like, I don't want to make my bad. I want to make my everybody angry. I don't want to make Caleb. You just don't want to make Caleb cry.
It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen today.
Also, I can only poop on games so many times at the very beginning of an episode. I really got, like, we got to break it somehow. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy, and I'm already that guy.
You're already
cool.
That guy. Yep. So, I actually want to start my opinion off with a question, actually.
Okay.
Oh, God.
No.
Deflect.
Oh, God. Sequentially, does this come before or after Stanley Parable?
So, from
like in the real
from
world,
my understanding,
yes, in real world time.
Oh, this is after. This came out October.
Yeah. It is after.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think that the game is very existential. There are a lot of like very interesting kind of concept levels. You know, levels where you can't turn around. You gotta scoot. But it's, I don't know. I did have some issues with the game, especially after hearing that it happens or that it was made after Stanley Parable, which is a game where I think you walk, but you just feel like by walking, you'd actually do have an influence on things.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, I just wanted to say, I feel like we're jumping the gun, because I feel like Caleb sort of left out a very crucial detail about this game before we start talking about it, where, so like he said, like, you're walking through these levels that another developer made while Davey, the guy, is telling you about, like, hey, this is what I thought he was going through. And then you find out that through the narrator's exposition, like, that he shared these games with other people because he was worried about the developer's mental state. And then the developer stopped making games because like, you betrayed my trust. Well, okay. This was my safe space.
If
like,
you go,
so right. the game.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like that's just important to mention.
I thought we were
going to
like naturally get to that sort of more in-depth discussion, but
it's
but,
a good place to start though.
You're right.
I mean,
you're
yeah,
totally
so
right.
well we're here now, yeah. so
on the outside you have a series of honestly a lot of it feels like going through someone's portfolio folder and just playing all their test games. And you have that simultaneously with a narrator who is talking about knowing the person that made the games and talking about the, their whole interaction with one another.
Yeah, he like splices not only just like a critique of the levels themselves, but sort of he brings his own experiences with Coda and sort of that colors the experience. So it's less about just like trying to make sense of these discombobulated environments. It's more of
good word,
thank you. You're listening to what Davey has to say about just his background with Coda, like how he met him. I mean, there's an instance in the game where you walk through a cave that is the very beginning says this game is littered with messages from online players, and Davey goes on to say that, you know, this was the first time that I met Coda. You go into this cave area that is just littered with little text bubbles that you can kind of walk over and see messages, conceivably from other players. But then Davey goes on to explain that the game was never online. This is Coda literally writing out sentence per sentence. And he sort of makes a logical assumption that this is from a developer who desperately wants to share his material, but is somehow like socially inhibited and doesn't have an outlet for it. So he's created this own sphere of his thoughts for someone to just kind of experience and play through. Go ahead.
Okay. That's something I thought the game actually encapsulated very well. Just sort of like we're all creatives. I kind of hate that word, but it just makes sense
creative,
since we all do different
creative
things.
Types.
Yeah, we make art. And I thought it did a very good job. Like, it sort of reminded me of, like, my early years making things, where it's, like, you have all these ideas, and you're just, like, writing them down, and it's just, like, all these little, like, one-off experiments, like, that's never going to see the light of day, but you, like, you're, like, mimicking other people, you're mimicking
like
what you've seen out there, and, like,
yeah,
it's just, like, your own, like, it's very, like, personal. Mm-hmm. It's, like, almost like you're creating for yourself.
It feels like an invasion of that experimentation, that sort of you're in your own bubble, sort of as any creative type can tell you in some capacity. Art making is a very solitary experience, and I think the Beginner's Guide kind of highlights how unique game making is in terms of an artistic medium. You're coding, you're creating assets. I mean, this is spans languages, programming languages, and you're kind of you're in this enclosed bubble creating, and to have somebody take your experiences and sort of give their own lens, their own interpretation can be jarring, can be really, like I said, an invasion of author intention, you know?
Can I want to make a point about that.
Okay.
So the way that my opinion is the biggest theme of this game was about that. It's about art being a personal experience. Not that it's only a personal experience, but like just admitting that it can be just for you. And sort of like, you know, you can review other people's work. You can try to find the other meaning, but sometimes it's like an invasion of privacy. Like you said, like sometimes art is just about the creator and it's for the creator. Mm-hmm. But I thought that game itself did not deliver on that premise very well. I didn't think it executed it in the most effective manner. So the trailer for this game, do you guys remember the trailer?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely. You brought up details on it, which sort of reminded me more about it.
Yeah, so the trailer for this game is, it like shows just like a window with all these different maps open on it. And it's just like the narrator is going like, what if you could open, like, what if you could pick apart someone's life and their like work and see if you like what you can learn about them? And it just shows the person randomly opening up these maps with no particular order. Mm-hmm. And that's the experience I thought it would be, rather than the narrator saying, okay, let's check this thing out now. Let's check this thing out now. And I thought that would have been more effective because then you are the one that is actively trying to go through this stuff. You're the one in control.
Yeah.
But with the way it was presented here, like, you could almost like make it a scapegoat onto Davey, like, hey, I didn't know this guy didn't want the work to be seen. Like, this is your fault, not mine. Like, it gives you a way to remove yourself from the experience.
That's go ahead, Max.
That's where my biggest criticism comes in on the game, which is I didn't feel any sort of player, I don't know, any kind of player agency, any sort of player.
There isn't, and I think that's why it's so powerful, is it, for a medium that is so predicated on cause and effect, on action, you're complicit. I mean, all you're doing is just walking through this environment and sort of reenacting what Coda has programmed, this set loop of events, and it's very limited, but you're following a perspective of an obsessive type who is trying to make sense of a friend he's lost. He's trying to grieve through it. And as you keep playing, it slowly unravels. And it's less about affecting the narrative. It's more of just sort of letting it kind of wash over you. To me, it feels like a film equivalent. You're kind of just sitting complicitly, just going through this game, really, to see what's next.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's a game and not a film, so a certain level. Well,
and that's and, but that's and that's,
I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. Like, well, does a game have to be inherently interactive?
Well, no. This is where it gets a little. This is where I start looking at then other games. So like, so this is now talking about the idea of the player not seeming to matter in the beginner's guide.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the detail of the Stanley Parable was before this. Which is a game where you're walking and you have a tremendous sense of like just like, oh, I matter, kind of. Mm-hmm. You feel like you matter. You feel like what you're doing matters, and it's in a minor way.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we all want to feel in the end?
I
want to
feel like I matter.
What is my purpose? I'm
a beating heart.
But it's like, I'm if you look at this, the trailer makes it seem like you have more significance in the narrative.
Yeah,
as
that's
well,
just,
so
it, that's
it's
like,
but it's one of things where it's like, I wish it did have.
Why is that the issue, though? I mean, you're playing just a story. I mean, these levels are really like they're set dressing for his monologue. Really, that's kind of the whole point of it. And when Davey does tamper with the game, so there's one area where you're ascending stairs. This is towards the beginning of the game. And at a certain point, your movement speed comes to a dead crawl, and you're basically, you're pressing forward, but it would take you upwards of like 20 minutes to reach this door that unlocks. So Davey says to you as the player, like, we're not going to do that. I'm going to alter the game a little bit, and you press enter, you have normal movement speed, get to the top, see what Coda was trying to tell you, or tell us with his experience. And I think that's, you wouldn't be able to like have that effective sort of progression if it wasn't a video game, you know? Like, it's just a little action, but in that level it matters, you know? Like, it really leads to a pretty good payoff. You learn more about Coda because of that, you know?
I mean, maybe, but I mean, to answer your question on why it matters, like, in terms of like critique, like there's a message he was trying to deliver, and I feel like he did not execute it as well as he could have, and that bothers me because I saw a trailer where it seems like he very well could have. Like, I saw proof that, at least in my head, like, obviously I like didn't see, I don't know what I'm talking about, but like, I saw what I think could have been better, and that wasn't in the final product. So yeah, that like loses some points in my eyes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not saying it's not like a bad experience. Mm-hmm. It did not deliver as hard as it could have.
Okay. I guess I understand.
I'm sorry.
That.
Do we need to hug it out?
No, I don't want you to touch me. It, under any circumstances.
You try and stop me.
But.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing, though. I think that there are a lot of conversations that are going on as with the narrative. So there's an amount to which I like the idea of an environment where you're going through someone else's creative process.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is sort of part of the issue is when I did my replayed it through. Knowing, so there is actually a substantial twist. We haven't really brought up the fact that there's a twist.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we say that about how you find out that Coda never wanted this revealed?
Well, there's one specific symbol that is like a twist. So,
oh, I forgot about that.
So
take it home, Max. Go,
explain leading up to like.
Oh, I thought Caleb's one with the love. He could take it home too. But so
someone do it. Oh my god.
There is like a turning point where you sort of start realizing that the narrator has also been editing the programming substantially.
Mm-hmm.
Like way past movement speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like past the original designer's vision. Mm-hmm. And that sort of culminates at the end where there's not even like hinting at, but like direct confirmation that the guy is tampering and what he's done has alienated the designer.
Yeah, what happens is, so Davey says, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
it sort of, like, culminates with, Davey's like, and then Coda sent me this level, and you play through this level, and it ends with you going almost, like, through this art exhibition,
mm-hmm.
or, like, that's just sort of what it looks like. It's like you're going through these hallways with text written on the walls, and the text is from Coda to Davey, and it's like, you really violated my trust. Please never talk to me again. Like, so it's like all these direct messages about all the things Davey did wrong. Like, please stop editing my games. Mm-hmm. You ruined this experience for me. You poisoned what I love.
Yeah. And there's a lot of also just like, you know, throughout the game, Davey keeps saying that he's worried about Coda. Oh, he hasn't been making games. I haven't heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things like, no, lulls in the creative process are natural. Like, mm-hmm. you just don't right. understand it. Like, mm-hmm. if you figure it out, I hope you can, like, you know, come to your own conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the other thing I thought was really interesting is just the notion of outsiders viewing someone else's creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, where the game is strongest. Is the notion of basically a conversation between two people, one of which is creative and one of which enjoys his creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Where the creative-minded individual, everything he's making is a personal creation that is sort of out of himself. The person who enjoys it enjoys qualities of it, but it's never as personal as the first person's.
Mm-hmm. And it is... Do you guys remember the, like, well in the prison set of levels where you're in, like, this living room and you're kind of looking outside these bars and there's yeah. the mm-hmm. well? So you're in this living room, you look outside, there's a well that's inaccessible, and you turn around and you have the option of spawning furniture, basically. And there's like, a dialogue choice. Asking you, like, which furniture would you like to line the walls with? And, you know, you press a button and then a certain object will appear that's nothing what you asked for. And it cuts from that to another iteration of the living room area, and then another one, and then yet another one. And Davey is progressively talking you through this, saying that he's worried about Coda's obsessive, like, this obsession on the prison motif and how he will continue to belabor it over and over. And he feels like it's unhealthy. When in actuality, as artists, like, you know, it's important to obsess on something that fascinates you and to see it to its logical conclusion. And eventually you do play right. the end result of Coda's obsession with the prison motif. And it's pretty effective, but Davey fundamentally does not understand it at all. And that twist makes you retroactively think about what is really true about Coda's levels, whether or not you're playing the director's cut, so to speak. He straight up says, Coda, stop putting in the lampposts, which is, you know, as you're going through the beginning few levels, they're sort of fragmented ideas, really quick sketches that, you know, Davey's sort of like saying, oh, it's going to make sense. Trust me. I'm going to lead you to this point that it'll all click. And then the clicking moment is seeing the lamppost. And he says to the player, Coda realized that he needed to focus on an endpoint being the lamppost. And from that point on, mm-hmm. it is this reoccurring symbol over and over. But in actuality, Coda makes it pretty clear that, like, Davey inserted that shit into his levels in order for him to make sense of his creative process. And, you know, without it being a video game, like, how do you... I feel like it is effective because it is a video game. You know?
See, I just thought it would... I just think it would have been more effective is... Because I didn't... This is something that just occurred to me. If, like, instead of that end level being, like, Coda saying, hey, Davey, please stop editing my stuff, is it could have been more effective if you were the one going through it, just have, like, Coda... I don't know how this would work, and I'm not going to get into, like...
The beginner's guide to redrawn. The intermediate yeah. guide.
All right, so it starts. You're on a lamppost island. I just feel like that last level would be more effective as if somehow Coda was talking to you and not mm-hmm. Davey, or it's like you get out of my space. You stop looking at my stuff.
I actually looking at the trailer of the and seeing the idea of like opening
were
up.
Were you just
files,
watching that while we were talking?
I might have taken a quick peep. But like the idea of literally investigating files and pulling up maps, that kind of would have sold it if then you had Davey as a narrator to the like overarching program, and then you're going through these sets of files. Because honestly, I think that the levels and the different like just the way that levels read from one to another, they actually do feel like a very convincing creative progression of somebody.
Oh yeah,
that's the thing, Coda. The game really did succeed in capturing and creating like an artificial creative persona. Coda feels like somebody who's actually undergoing a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
It's very convincing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, you were bringing up the lamppost earlier, and I remember in that last level where you've got all the messages from Coda to Davey, I remember their one being like, why are you so obsessed with everything having to have an ending?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like the creative process. Like, we all probably have dozens of projects that are just, like, half done and are never going to be finished.
Finished done because half done is already... It's already there. It's like, well, it's not done, but, like, I can't do anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, I've said it already, but I'll just say it again. That's what I think was the strongest part about this game. Just, like, encapsulating the artistic process.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know why it spoke to me. Like, I'm more identified with, like... young David's creative process more than it does now, but it just sort of like brought me back to that time
creating Slipknot like, album covers,
creating flip books with post-it notes,
throwing paint handfuls at stuff.
Oh, we got a young Pollock.
A young Pollock over here
slinging paint like a fool.
Young Pollock.
Young Pollock.
Hey Caleb, what? That was a real nice joke.
Thank you.
That was real good.
I'm glad you gave that the showcase it deserved.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just really needed to call it out.
No worries.
Caleb, do you need to defend
no,
this game
no,
again,
I mean, I
or
feel
like tell
talk,
us why we're wrong?
Talking through with you guys, you understand why I appreciate it so much.
I mean, I guess.
I guess. But for me, I just, having been deeply absorbed in this creative process, you know, I have a programming friend who is equally as obsessive with creating games and sort of getting lost in that creative process. And I, maybe it's more personal to me because I've been through that for a year and a half, but it speaks very personally to me. It really does. And I haven't played anything quite as resonant as The Beginner's Guide. I just think it really is a focused experience that follows an arc that leads to a really great payoff and makes you retroactively think about, you know, the entire thing in a different light. But I understand. I understand if you're not as impressed with the execution. So I guess, you know, if you had it your way, you would want it to be more about interfacing and, like, clicking through.
I just didn't think it, like, leveraged the capabilities of video games as a medium. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't think this was, like, the proper way to showcase these ideas with this art form.
That's it. It's that whole thing of pushing really well in some directions and really, really succeeding at mm-hmm. some things, but not pushing as hard into other directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about pushing.
It's all about pushing.
It's all about pushing in,
guys.
You know,
guys, you heard it here first. Art's all about pushing.
you got to push yourself. You got to push others. All right, I'm not here for friends. Push.
You gotta push the art right off the wall.
Pushing.
Pushing for a cushion.
Okay, we're done. Okay. I think it's time for final thoughts, unless you wanted to say anything else.
No, I'm surprised that we were able to cover as much as we have in as little time as this, so...
It might have been because, just to pull back the curtain, we talked about this game a lot before we started recording, so I think we got a lot out of our system already.
And we spent like 40 minutes talking about it on a failed recording attempt, too.
That also happened.
Well, that was my brother's internet, let's be clear.
throwing shade at your brother. Throwing shade.
I'm taking over. Here's one thing I will ask you, though, before we kind of leave this discussion and sort of wrap it up. Was there any particular moment where you felt like all of the different elements of the Beginner's Guide came to like a beautiful, you know, unification and sort of delivered its theme the clearest? Was there any particular moment?
Would it hurt your feelings if I said
fuck,
no?
Fuck, man. For real?
I think the twist is a really important, like, and I mean, that's a big part of it. A lot of the game rides on the twist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that is like a majority of the point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like establishing kind of end moment?
But some of the dialogue from like some of the NPCs in the world with the chat heads that like turn to like listen and talk, you know, and you're having this existential conversation about what it means to finish a video game, like to complete an objective and to be stuck in this world that doesn't really have a clear objective, you know, and then Davey is talking over that, kind of explaining his interpretation of this whole thing. Like there's some really meaty stuff in here that questions what it means to be playing a video game, you know?
A lot of those questions though are also in Stanley Parable.
Right. To a different capacity, and that's, I feel like.
Do a different capacity. My end thought is I think it's a very strong game that goes in a very like kind of like it's got like a documentarian mm-hmm. aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
but I still think I kind of end thinking that a lot of the themes that it's going after are approached more interestingly and more and leave a more lasting impression with the Stanley Parable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
that's David's that's closing idea.
Fuck
is
you,
he just
man.
Well, okay? What yeah. now? What that was is me getting ready to move into our like final thought thing, but I was just gonna start talking and
ooh.
See if you guys wanted to like carry it on before
ooh,
I like
Mr. Organized
cut you off.
With his checklist.
Do you guys just want to talk about Game of Thrones? Like, is that would you feel more inclined? To... That's what you're really into.
I really like that Stanley Parable twist direction at the end when it was like, hey, what's Tyrion doing here? Beginner's guy, what's this file? Tyrion.jpg.
I was playing Superman 64 the other day, and I think overall it was a pretty strong experience compared to this one.
We gotta hang up on David.
You know, I feel like it is the Super Mario 64 of third person shooters.
I'm triggered.
Done.
Oh, we have to. All right. Well,
yeah. So on this podcast, we don't talk like we don't really do our final thoughts, even though that's exactly what Max just did.
Sorry, guys.
Instead, like, it's okay. It's art is a conversation. It's about, you know, always just like sort of in flux. So we like to talk about just like how we think it contributed to the video games as an art form, or what it would have done for the industry down the line. We'll save Caleb for last just so we go out on a good note, and we'll go with me first just because I don't think this game itself will particularly make many ripples down the line, but I think, like, the... Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'm
sorry. What?
I don't think this game itself is going to make ripples, but I think, like, the talking about how art can be a very personal experience and it isn't always for, you know, the, like, viewers. Like, I feel like a lot of people expect, like, the artists create for them and they're entitled to the art they want. I feel like sort of showing the other side of that issue was, you know, a point worth making. Mm-hmm. Now, leave it there for Caleb's... for our friendship to stay intact.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. Just a little hurt. Just a little...
Max, pull us out of this.
All right.
Oh, it's a gaping
I actually
hole.
Just thought of... I have an interesting comparison with how I think this game is significant.
Go on.
This game is significant in the eyes of the people that are making it. So I think that looking at this as the next step from the Stanley Parable, I still personally, and this is a very personal preference thing, I respond stronger to the Stanley Parable. But I think this is a next step is significant for the company.
Yeah, you better believe I'm going to buy
I think at this point it's like, okay, now it's expanding into a much darker area, but also a much more personal narrative area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Stanley Parable is very abstract in its nature in that way. There's a very, like, palpable personal narrative between two, like, very defined characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm curious in how that's going to translate to the future with the rest of whatever they're making with their next projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To kind of tail end off of that, it's so rare to get this genuine insight, even though it's a fictional narrative. There are nuggets of truth that you can sort of pluck out from any collaborative experiences, especially if you are creating games. And I really think that the Beginner's Guide is sort of a mirror's lens of expression through video games and creating video games. And I have not played anything quite as unique and as earnest with that dynamic between two people just sort of creating together. It's a beautiful I love it so much. I think this is it's essential
and I love you.
No, you don't.
Wait, Caleb, is that a person-sized pillow with the Beginner's Guide taped on the head?
How did you see that? What the shit? It's just a fog door.
Okay. if that's it, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
I think the last couple games we have done have been a little out there. I think we'll try to rein it back in with something a little more mainstream for the kids.
Get it going with something a little cooler, am I right?
Tune in to Daddy-o. 103.7. With the
And that's going to be your crit adjourned.
But we didn't do the email, so...
Oh,
wait, do we have emails? Do we have an email?
Max tried to end the podcast.
I was like, wait, what?
Caleb's very real. Like, wait, we have an email? I think that about says it all.
No, Max tried to close it down before he got the chance to say what our email was.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Well, let's...
So if you want to send suggestions for games or comments or David Caleb fighting fan art, just send it to critcrewpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you send emails on the internet, on your computer. To your browser.
I think we should also make a Facebook page.
Yeah, okay.
I think that'd be smart.
We're going to cover it in memes.
The dankest memes.
No joke, I did say to Caleb earlier before you got into this chat, I'm going to look for some dank Eeyore gifs. So you can look
that
forward to
that. Actually happened.
It did.
Guys.
Oh, God.
All right, Max, now you can say your stupid thing.
Wait.
Thank you for tuning into 101.9 The Creek Crew. This has been Max, Caleb, and David.
This dank meme real quick.
Are you holding up a picture of
When Scoob licked all the peanut butter off your junkies, but it keeps on zoinking.
This crit is adjourned!